This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Draymond with a catch. And Naz Reid got a... No, I was going to say he got away with a foul, but he didn't. He fouled Draymond Green, and now they're going to look at it because he got popped, and Naz Reid is on the deck. Draymond is going to get called for a flagrant foul here. He exaggerated on the follow-through on the foul and whacked Reid in the head.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. And you're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, you are. And there's a whole separate Draymond conversation that we'll have a little bit later on. But definitely want to keep talking this all out with you. Listen, I want to try to like meet people halfway here. Like I saw this. Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. I thought this was an intelligent way to say it, even though I don't necessarily see it the same way. I wonder what you think, Dibs. This is from one of our listeners at 925. Hi, Willard and Dibs. While the injury to Steph is obviously a bummer, it's not ridiculous for Steve Kerr and the team to have a contingency plan. Businesses around the world have to do this all the time. It's rare in life that everything goes to plan all the time, and Steph has been injured multiple times before. Okay.
That's fair.
That's a completely fair and intelligent way to look at it. What is your response to that, though, in this particular business?
Well, the contingency plan is next man up, and Bob Fitzgerald joined us yesterday and said, don't you dare say that.
Don't you do it.
And I'm only saying it because I know Fitz is listening on the way to his next golf round.
Hi, but Fitz.
There is no next man up. So the contingency plan for Steph Curry is, okay, well, somebody else has to play. And somebody else has to be really good. So who is that going to be? Moses Moody. He hasn't hit a shot in a week. He has not hit a shot in a week,
I mean,
Mark.
I bet he did in like practice.
Right.
Maybe.
Shoot your shot, that's all you got.
Yeah.
He's played three games,
yeah.
And he has gone
0-for.
Okay, so contingency plan number one, it's not working. So I do think that if Steve Kerr were to, in case of emergency, break glass, like, who is that glass you're going to break? Gary Payton II has not been very good. Moses has not made a shot. We can go all the way down. Pat Spencer, cup of coffee, lightning in a bottle. He was amazing, and he was bad yesterday. Quentin Post, he was unplayable in 3.5 minutes. So if you want to go through all of the machinations of what Steve could, has, will and would and should do, none of them are working.
Well,
so I don't know. I mean, I like the text. I think the text is spot on. It's not as easy as, you know, Mark, you're our number one salesperson and you're out on paternity leave. So you know what? Number two sales guy, get in there and sell.
No, it's not. And that's kind of my response to it. While it's a completely fair way to look at it, you can argue this is Steve's contingency plan. Like, they already won a game where Steph missed three quarters of the game and they were able to hang in there. And then the contingency plan to go into the next night is to, and I want people to remember this, that, like, he doesn't play it that way if they're down 0-1. Keep that in mind.
Agreed.
He doesn't play it that way if they're down 0-1, but they're up 1-0. And you can say, oh, all playoff games matter, and they do. But I love what you said before the show, which is that a seven-game series is a living, breathing thing. And here's the other thing. The comp to all businesses have contingency plans. Right, but most businesses don't have a different competitor every day that they wake up. Home Depot goes against Lowe's. Mm. And when they come up with a plan and need a contingency, they're still going against Lowe's. But not the Warriors. The Warriors show up the next day and it's like, oh, well, now we're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that is this specific series that we need to win. What works here? So some of you are almost acting like, you know, if you had like developed Kuminga against the Rockets, you'd have been ready for this. Well, maybe not. That's the Rockets. It's a completely different matchup.
And maybe you don't advance.
Maybe you don't. Well, and that was Steve's point the other day, which I think is actually the number one response to all of this. All this idea of you overused Curry and you didn't develop your other people. Great. Underuse Curry and develop Kuminga and enjoy Cancun. And the Wolves play the Rockets, and how excited would you be about that coming up this weekend?
Yep.
You would have lost. The series was obviously close enough that you could not mess around with minutes. You got to go with your best foot forward and take the risk. They did. They've gotten burned. Okay. What do you do now? Well, the assignment is not just be ready for Steph's injury. It's be ready for this moment, this team, this series, this matchup, and these defenders. And so that's why I buy the idea of let's go see these players against those players, because that's all we're doing right now over the next week is trying to defeat these defenders. Which players are working, which aren't, which are hot, which are not. It's fair. And they also bought some minutes for their veteran players.
Yep, a little bit.
To go all out for these home games that are coming.
My only concern is that you went into an exploratory phase, and I think that what you learned was more bad than good. And I look like Quentin Post, ooh, boy, can't play him. Kevon Looney, he didn't play 3 minutes, can't play him. GP2, struggled, can't play him. Moses Moody, can't shoot. Can't play him.
I get what you're saying, but just because somebody like didn't look good last night doesn't necessarily automatically mean they're never playing again.
Fair. But what I think that when you go into last night's game and you play 14 different guys, you're hoping that you get more than two guys to really pop. And I look at Jonathan Kuminga, who not great in the first quarter, and the team was behind by a lot, and it's like, all right, JK, go out there and cook. And I know you hate that, but he did go out there and he played great after the first quarter. And the other one was Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think that he earned himself some more minutes. But
probably
beyond that, like all of the other, hey, let's see guys, I don't think that any of those other let's see guys did enough to like make me feel good about game three.
Here's the optimism that I bring out of it. First of all, I still didn't think Minnesota played a very good game, which tells me that I think the Warriors' defense has some answers for this particular Minnesota group, and that's good. And we were hopeful of that. Remember, yesterday, that's what we thought was the key. And I know they scored 117 points, but that was definitely buoyed by garbage time and different things. The other thing is, I don't know if you're getting an answer so much about a specific player as you are a specific style of player.
Yeah, and combos too, yeah.
Right, so it's combos, and then, you know, what do Kuminga and TJD have in common? Well, they're athletic. All right, so is that the answer that you got? Oh, Minnesota struggles a little bit with athletic tall guys. Okay, so now we can lean into that a little bit more, and you go with your guys that are a little bit more athletic. Maybe that means Kevin Knox is going to play some in this series. I don't know.
Yep.
But he's more athletic than some of the other people that they have that play that position. You know, maybe Knox starts getting Moody's minutes. I don't know. But that worked in this matchup. That's an answer, and that's good to have. All right, let's keep going with as many of you as possible. Let's go to Mr. D. Hi, Mr. D. Thank you for the call.
Hey, guys. Listen, now, I called you guys during the Houston series, and I said, you know, Kerr needs to play some of these young guys, Kuminga included, because you can sit there and see his confidence shrinking by the minute. And he's getting these DMPs. Now all of a sudden, okay, dog, we need you now. Get in there. But play with one hand behind your back because you got to be looking over your shoulder. And then we expect him to just explode. No, that's why he was so shaky in the first quarter, because he's shell-shocked. And you're playing these old guys all these minutes, and they're logging these minutes. They're old. And now you got Steph. And if you're going to keep continuing with Jimmy and with Draymond, you're younger, but I can tell you right now, they're going to be the next ones. Keep logging them 40-something minutes. You got to play some of these young guys. You got to see at least what you got.
Mr. D, even if I acknowledge that what you're saying makes a lot of sense on paper, I have a question for you. Do you believe that if they had lowered the minutes of the veteran guys, because Steve very clearly answered this exact question to us a couple of days ago, if you take some of the minutes away from the key players in the Rockets series, do you think the Warriors are even in this series?
They went seven anyway.
Exactly.
At least you would know what you had.
But then you know what you have, and you don't have any more games. Like, you don't, like, just give me that. Do you buy that? Do you think that if they lower the minutes for the key players in the Rockets series, do you think the Warriors still win the series?
The Rockets might win the series, but I'm saying if you get these guys all injured, what have you gained? What have you accomplished?
But if the Rockets win the series, what the hell's the point? We're all done.
Okay, so we're going to be done if Curry's out, obviously, because none of these guys have confidence to play.
Well, you're doing hindsight is 20/20 now, Mr. D. Like, yes, Curry got hurt, but that wasn't a guarantee. You have, again, and thank you, Mr. D, like, you have to take that chance. If you're going to acknowledge that you would have lost to Houston if you didn't do this, then I don't even, what's the point of the conversation? You would have lost to Houston. So who cares who's ready for the Timberwolves series?
Yeah, nobody.
You'd be on a boat.
Exactly. So Steph's hamstring would be much better.
Nobody's arguing that they weren't taking a risk, but it's a risk you have to take.
And it's a risk that they took, and it actually netted a win. So I look at this, and you know, the Steph Curry injury, you can look at overuse, and you can make that the cause of it. I don't really believe that. I mean, the guy has never had this injury before, and he's played a lot of minutes before, but I look at where you are now, tied at one game apiece, and last night for me was a game you're going to lose anyway. If Steph didn't have a bad hamstring, I still would have picked Minnesota. I think Minnesota would have won that game no matter what, and that's just my own opinion about where the T-Wolves were and how bad they were in game one, and the Warriors came out, and even though they didn't have Steph, they had a 7-point deficit in the third quarter. They were in the game for a lot of the game, and you know, they dug a big hole, and then they fought back, and they were only down seven. So I do think that they found some things that could work for game three.
All four home teams that lost game one came out in game two and immediately built a 20-point lead.
Right.
Now, yes, two of them gagged it.
Gagged.
Two of them gagged it. But to the point you're making, like, yeah, that's a game you're supposed to lose.
Right.
You're 10.5-point underdog. It's a game you're supposed to lose. Memorial Day weekend is almost here. Before you hit the road for that well-earned getaway, swing by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment, stay in your car, done in about 15 minutes. Visit Bay Area Oil Change for locations and coupons. We're in the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed here in San Francisco, and you are all righteously waiting for your turn here at 888-957-9570. And we're going to just keep on rolling through each and every one of you. So stay right where you are, Chuck and Mike and Jim and Abdul and Ruben. Thank you for listening and for engaging. And we want to hear what each and every one of you have to say. So we're coming to you next on What's
Going On.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good in dips.
Now to Mooney. He'll back up. Got to go with three, with two. Backs up. Rainbow three. It's going to be an air ball. Grabbed by Randall. Outlet McDaniels. Breakaway dunk. 73-58. And Moses Mooney is just having a nightmare of a postseason.
Bay Area, it's Moses Mooney. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, I was kind of mean-spirited, Grandy. Good Lord. At Bay Area, it's Moses Mooney. You know, the guy that Tim Roy just absolutely was clowning on 95.7 The Game moments ago.
He wasn't clowning him. He kept it real, Mark.
Yeah, he did.
He kept it a buck.
He's having a nightmare postseason, but I was more referencing Tim's tone with the air ball. Mooney for three. It's an air ball down the other end. Pass dunk Minnesota. Tim was not happy.
No. It didn't start out as a nightmare postseason, but of late, last three games, 0-5, 0-4, 0-5.
Yep. No, he is.
0-14. His last make was May 2nd. That was a week ago.
He's struggling. Bad.
It's beyond like Joe Namath. Struggling.
Yeah, he's really, really struggling.
I don't really care that Moses is struggling. It's one of the all-time great halftime interviews, or it was in-game.
Was that the I Want to Kiss You thing?
Yes.
Yeah, with Susie Colber?
But the whole part before that was, I don't really care that the Jets are struggling. And his use of struggling.
Yeah, it was good.
And again, it's another one-word impersonation for me, struggling.
Yeah, no, it works.
Yeah.
It works.
And right now, Moses Mooney, he's having a Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line 510. The last caller is so off base, it's not even funny. Warrior fans always want to place blame on Kerr. And that's from Niner J. Would have put your name on it. Niner J.
Put your name on it.
Yeah, stand on it. And then 415 texts in and says,
stand on it.
There you go. Fans, please stick to being F-A-N-S.
Mm.
Fans, stop trying to be coaches because you don't have the blueprint.
You coaching?
You don't have the hoop schematic, bandwidth, nor intellectual analytical logistics.
Perhaps.
Monday morning QBs always want to share their great ideas, but clearly lack the basketball IQ mandated to successfully or productively break down the highest level.
It's good.
A lot of big words in there.
It is, but part of being a fan is being a coach, a player, a GM, an owner, a team president, the rest of it. That's what being a fan is about.
Well, there's no rules. You get to do this however you want, and so you get to be mad at whoever you want. But in life, if you're going to express anger at someone or something, put your dukes up. You better be ready. You better be ready for what comes back at you. I have no issue with a fan that looks at last night and goes, well, this is a bunch of crap. That's fine. That's fine. When you then get a drink of water, use the restroom, brush your teeth, go to bed, wake up the next morning and decide, Steve Kerr's an idiot.
Got to go.
With all of the championship rings and the fact that you're sitting here in the second round of the playoffs as the seventh seed because of a brilliant run of basketball for a 2.5 month stretch. And you decide that now is the moment in a game where you're on the road against a desperate team without your franchise player. Now is your moment. You're like, all right, I'm going to strike. Steve Kerr's a dummy. Come on. Come on.
Well, I mean, you're allowed to.
You're allowed to.
You can fan however you want to fan.
And I don't want to speak for you, are allowed to say that that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I find it to be a little bit ridiculous. And I look at last night and going into the game, and I said it yesterday on the show, I thought they were going to lose by 20. I might have said 30. I might have said 80, just being glib and being sarcastic. But I thought that that game was going to go that way. Now, I didn't anticipate a 13-0 deficit. And I finally got in the car, and Tim Roy with they finally broke a throw. They broke the seal.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible Tim Roy, but
5 minutes into the game.
Right.
It was the 7:01 that they scored for the first time.
A basket.
Yes.
Right. It felt like I was watching Arsenal in the Champions League.
Wow. Which that was a shot.
He's not listening, which is kind of fun. But it's
good thing.
It's their team that also couldn't score. But, you know, you get to that point, they're down 13-0. And I didn't think that they were going to lose like that quickly, but I thought it would be that game. And I also told you that I thought that it was going to be a throw everything at the wall kind of game. And that's what he did.
That's what it was.
Like, yep. All right, guys, anybody in a uniform, can you play? Are you any good in this series? Let's find out. And Pat, no, wasn't your night. And Quentin, no, didn't work out. And, you know, you mentioned Knox, and he might have been a guy who, like, showed a little bit.
I don't know if people even know that Kevin Knox, like, I think he was the same pick in the draft as Kuminga was. I know so many people are like, Kuminga's a lottery pick. You got it, this, that, the other. So was Kevin Knox. He might have been ninth. I don't know if he was ninth
Kevin
or seventh.
Kevin Knox was ninth.
Yeah, he's ninth. Ninth pick in the draft.
Oh, now you're listening.
2018.
Hi, Grandy.
I just took a shot at you, and you weren't listening, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
One of the rare times that you actually were in Lucas mode.
Do you want to guess what he took a shot at?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
So many options.
It's
a good thing I tuned out for that moment.
I was comparing the Golden State Warriors offense to that of Arsenal in the Champions League. Got them.
We don't have a striker, Dibs.
When we
neither
don't
do
have
the
a
Warriors,
point guard.
Thank you.
Hello.
You see why it works?
We don't have a literal top 10 in the history of the NBA player anymore. So, I don't know. Just acknowledge that. That's all I want. Can we let that into the room? Steph's not playing. He's not playing. So, I would like that to be in the analysis of the game last night. That's all.
No, for sure. And what I said yesterday, I still believe today, and we'll go to the phones, and I know we've got one line open.
No,
full phones. I do believe that last night was about learning and exploration, and I still think that what I saw last night, it was, exploratory. I do think that what they learned last night, they can apply, and they can still win the series. I'm not ready to, like, throw up the white flag and totally give up just because you got blown out in game two.
Let's go to the phones. 888-957-9570 is the number. How about Chuck in Mountain View? Hi, Chuck. Thank you for the call.
Hey, what's up, Will and Dibs? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey, Chuck.
You know what, Mountain View Chuck. I was with you back at George Floyd, man. I wanted to give you much love for that night. Still paying off. Still paying dividends. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
You know what those fans are having trouble with? Those fans that are having trouble with the Wizard Steve Kerr. They're struggling, Bugland. Because think of it, he just threw curveballs at the Wizards.
How so?
They're not going to know how to defend. This next coming game, isn't it a little bit of a positive that works with what he's doing, that the Wizards aren't really going to be able to plan for what they're not going to be able to plan for what he's doing? What rotation is he going to put out there? We don't know. 11 players within the first, you know what I mean? That might be a positive. Also, the Draymond thing. He's trying his damnedest to do what's right for the team. But there are other guys out there giving him elbows, giving him knees. You know they're coming after him. That can't be easy. And also, last thing, contingency plan, it's a little different. J.K. was hurt. They went out and got Jimmy Butler. The Jimmy Butler combination with Stephen Curry got us here. There's no time to work on a contingency plan. That's why Steve Kerr's a wizard. He's working on it now. He's going to come up with it, and we're going to take this series, boys.
Chuck, thank you for the call. That might even be too optimistic for me, but I hear what he's saying. I'm not going to build that up as like some huge advantage that the Warriors have, which is that the Wolves don't know who's going to start because the Warriors don't actually have enough starting players.
Right.
I'm not going to build that up as an advantage. It could be some sort of a factor, though. I mean, there is that in this stew, which is that the Warriors largely know who the Wolves are. And right now, the Wolves don't know who the Warriors are. The problem is the Warriors might not know who the Warriors are right now.
And
so,
I do think that the Warriors are hoping to rely on certain players, and some of those players are not playing well enough to where you want to rely on them. And that, for me, is the biggest issue with Moses Moody, a guy who was starting a bunch of games down the stretch, and he was starting and you weren't losing, and he was amazing. And now, over the last three playoff games, he's not been that. And, you know, Pods is still a net positive player, but he's not playing as well as he did in the Houston series. And Gary Payton II, I don't know what's going on with GP2, but he's not playing that well either.
You keep saying that. I thought, you know, last night was kind of wonky. I thought he was really good in game one, GP2.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought, you know, defensively, he's himself. He hit some big shots
right
for the team when Minnesota was making their fourth quarter run.
That game was pretty much well at bay, though. And I look at last night as a game where you need Gary to step up and, you know, do a little bit more. Draymond certainly as well. And Draymond did not have a good game offensively. So, I mean, nobody really played great offensively other than Jonathan Kuminga, and that came when the team was already down by 15.
Yeah, 888-957-9570. Next, we're going to go to Mike in San Jose. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I never thought I'd be doing this, but I want to take a minute and just defend Draymond Green. Now, last night I was going off during the game in my group chat on him. I thought he didn't really need to flail as much as he did, and now we're in a bad spot with his techs. But, you know, that being said, it wasn't that bad of a flail. And just last week, you know, during the Rockets series, when Steph Curry was being abused game in, game out, and Jimmy Butler was getting x-rays, the NBA was celebrating the physicality of the playoffs, and there's a lot of propaganda about physicality that we were seeing on TV. And all of a sudden in this series, that's no longer the case. And they're going to review this and give Draymond a tech. Like in the Rockets series, if you remember, Dylan Brooks got fouled and then, you know, lost control and spear tackled GP2 under the basket. Nothing happened there. And then Amen Thompson was also, you know, I guess pushed a little bit and lost control. And that's why he upended Jimmy Butler and sent him to get x-rays. And he got a slap on the wrist for that. So I don't really think Draymond's incident last night should have been called to even be reviewed, let alone concluded to be a tech. And lastly, I just want to say, Draymond looked kind of emotional at the end of the game.
Yep.
In his interview. And while I just want to say it's easy for us looking in to be like, oh, come on, like, don't lose your cool. The team really needs you. But when something is personally directed at, you know, us, it's easier said than done to not take something personal. And it's obviously getting to him.
No doubt. And Mike, I don't know how many people, and thank you for the call. I don't know how many people know there were two fans ejected from the basketball game last night. One seemingly actually was taken care of by security. The other one, it was actually other fans around him that reported that all kinds of discriminatory and racial things were being thrown at Draymond Green, especially while he was, there's that video of while he was on the exercise bike.
Yep.
And so Dibs and I both agree on this, and we'll have a conversation about it a little bit later. But if you heard Draymond after the game and what he said, I just think there's two different things going on here at the same time. And if the frustration is boiled over because of inappropriate racist behavior in the stands, and the fact that who Draymond is as a basketball player has probably led that to that in every arena he visits all year long, I cannot imagine. And I would never, ever expect someone to act with decorum in ridiculous situations like that. And if that's what's bubbling over for Draymond, I feel for him, I get it, and it's beyond unfortunate and unacceptable. If he's bubbling over about the refs, I don't know what to say other than that, you've built this castle and now you have to live in it. You know what I mean? Like what he's saying about the technical foul with Draymond Green, and he's comparing it to other players who've done other things. Here's what I'd say. Let's say you're a meter maid, okay? And you're patrolling around all the area of the parked cars, and you come up upon a car, and the meter has just expired a couple of minutes ago. You're going to write that person a ticket, right? And then the next car over is in an expired meter, and there's six other parking tickets already sitting on the window. Are we going to treat both cars the exact same way?
No. One of them gets booted.
Yeah, exactly. So if Draymond has a specific act that he keeps doing, let's just be real. He keeps doing this. If you touch his arm, he flails it and hits you in the neck. Like, I'm sorry. They're going to try to send you the message to stop doing that.
Right.
And he hasn't gotten the message yet.
Right. And, you know, looking at the rules, a technical can be issued for anything that is, you know, physical contact when the ball is alive, and also something that is, you know, deemed to be unnecessary. It doesn't have to be a flagrant. It can be with, you know, something that the official deems, in his opinion, is detrimental to the game. And when you get fouled and your arms go up and one of your arms goes out into the face of Naz Reid, and they think that that's detrimental to the game, well, that's a tech. And another reason why you could get a tech is for use of profanity. And Steiny mentioned this earlier, where he runs up to a ref and he's basically screaming at the ref, that's F and BS. And then he finds the other ref and does the exact same thing. Those can be technicals, yeah, like garden variety, but they weren't. And so Draymond Green, the player, and I'm putting aside what happened to him on the bike, because as I mentioned to you and the guys during the crossover, I have no idea. I can never even begin to fathom what that's like, to have somebody use that language to you based on how you look. Like, you and I have a certain level of privilege that, you know, we can be apologetic for it. We can and be guilty for it, and all that is fine and good, but you and I will never understand what it's like to walk a mile in Guru shoes, Bonte, Draymond Green, so many other people. I have no idea what that is like, let alone like everyday life. So, well, I mean, Draymond Green, for me, you get all of the grace in the world if, you know, when he said what he said in the post game about how he's sick and tired of being portrayed as an angry black man and this and that. And, you know, I hope that he doesn't think that we, the media, are a part of it. But, I mean, I don't know.
I can promise you.
Of course,
he does.
Yeah. But I don't know what to say about that. Like, yeah.
By the way, for people who have not heard what Dibs is referencing, this is from Anthony Slater's Twitter. He was one of the reporters, along with Ron Krojcik, that were right in front of Draymond when he told them, he's like, I really just have one message that I want to get across tonight. This is what it was.
You look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
And then he walked off. And listen, I have had, I'm not going to act like any of these players we talk about, I'm not going to act like I know them. We do get the opportunity at times to be around them. This was actually years ago. This was even prior to being at 95.7 The Game, right when I arrived back home here in San Francisco, was given the opportunity to tour Chase Center. And Draymond Green was in the group that was touring Chase Center. It was like just getting ready to open, and we all put hard hats on, and we went into Chase Center, and Draymond and his lovely wife were there. This is one of the few experiences I've had where it was like not in a sports talk forum where I was able to actually be in the presence of Draymond Green. And I'll just tell you, so that doesn't mean I know him by any stretch of the imagination, but what it does mean is I can tell you this. You would probably be very surprised if you ever got the chance to interact with Draymond Green. This is a respectful, look you in the eye, no matter who you are, and speak to you like you're another human being type person. That's who he was that day to me. There's also something floating around social media today that was in TikTok form, that was a compilation of Draymond Green interacting with referees, opponents, fans, and media members, like before games and as they were about to start, teammates too, and it would warm your heart. You should go seek it out and go watch it, because there's a reason that Draymond Green kind of ignites everybody so much, because he does compete sometimes too hard. But if what we're going to boil this down to is kind of like who he is, those fouls are not who he is. And it's why so much of the league in their spare time actually tells all of us that they love him. I think that's why he's boiling over a little bit. The on-court stuff, dude, there's nothing anybody can do about it. You play the way you play.
Right.
But he's not that person 24 hours a day.
Right. And nor is he or should anyone be subject to the kind of verbal
Correct.
Assaults that he's getting. And so I think that that's partly why he said what he said in the post game, because the notion among other fans, and certainly even fans in our own Golden State Warrior fan base, they don't know Draymond Green. How could we know Draymond? We don't know any of these guys, honestly. We see what we see, we hear what we hear, and we make our judgments based on that. And if fans in Minnesota are choosing to, you know, go about berating him with racial epithets, well, that's disgusting. And I'm glad those fans got ejected, and hopefully they're banned from going to Minnesota Timberwolves games. And if you're Draymond, it's got to be incredibly frustrating to where no matter where you go, based on what the perception is of you as yep. a player, that now spills over into you as a person?
Well, here's one thing that occurred to me, and we're going to get back to the calls in just a sec. Stay right where you are. We'll keep talking about last night's game. But this kind of occurred to me last year when the suspension happened, and everyone was like, anger management, anger management, anger management. Okay. If Draymond Green needed anger management courses, don't you think that, like, I don't know, once in his life ever, there'd be a story of something bubbling over off the court? People who have anger management issues don't reserve it for three nights a week sure. at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
There has never been anything. Nothing. There's been literally next to
right.
nothing with regard to, I know there was a bar in Michigan and
that's right.
somebody yelled
he
at somebody.
A Michigan State football player yes. in a bar.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So but
so does that qualify for somebody who needs anger management?
Well, that's not, it's
on.
Not great, but that's one time
right.
in a 15-year public career. Like, I don't see how this person is, as he puts it, being portrayed as the angry black man, but
right.
apparently no one's ever seen him do anything angry except for on a basketball court.
Charles Barkley threw somebody through a bar window, and we all thought that it was hilarious. And I know it was a different era, but nobody...
Well, it's also Charles. That Charles has that
right.
personality.
But
that,
I also don't yep. think that anybody at the time was like, anger management!
Right.
You know, you need to go You need right. to go get help. So
right.
we pick and choose how we want to perceive and judge these athletes. I think that you're right to say... It's two different things. For me, the on-court Draymond Green flailing of the arms and, you know, continuing to find his way into trouble, quote unquote, on the court, it's going to put his team into a spot, and we've seen it before. The other stuff, my heart goes out to him because I honestly, Mark, I have no idea what it is like. I will never know. You and I have talked about this at length about, you know, white privilege and how, you know, it's something that we honestly have to like step away from when it comes to these things.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We're here for your calls. A lot of people want to weigh in. We're coming to all of you. So stay right where you are, Jim and Rod and Ruben and Brody and Dave and North Bay Jay. We see you and here we come. And plus, we're also giving away a couple pairs of Valkyries tickets here. One in the 4 o'clock hour, one in the 5 o'clock hour. More to tell you about that coming up in just a moment on Willard and Dibs.
Now a bad pass by Santos, stolen by Naz Reid. Reid on the left wing, back out to Alexander Walker for three. It's good. Alexander Walker with his third three of the night. He's got 13, and the lead is up to 20. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. We're going to go to the phones. Willard and Dibs, Boxer and Gerson, work injury attorneys text line. Look, this is a fair response to the conversation that we just had. A lot of people are like, yo, hello, guys, Jordan Poole. Hello,
Jordan Poole. Yeah.
Sure. And that's not wrong. And I hope that nothing either of us said sounded like Draymond Green just like runs like a dude in flip-flops out by the pool all day every day. But even though that act is completely outside of the realm of basketball, it still happened in basketball, just like when Michael Jordan punched the head coach of the Golden State Warriors once upon a time. So does Draymond Green go to a different place when he is on the basketball court? Yes, I believe that he does. Does that place end up sometimes in a not good place? Yes, I believe it does. But if somebody is truly, as a human being, dealing with anger management issues, that would not just be on the basketball court. It would go to all areas of their life. And by the way, I can't tell you with 100% certainty that it doesn't, because I don't know the man and I'm not in his home. But I would gather that at that level of celebrity, if he truly was this live wire who was a jerk to people around him all the time, more things would have happened in the last 15 years than have. That's just my take.
And my take is kind of alongside of what you're saying, and it goes a little further to where I hesitate to assign labels and illnesses.
For sure.
And like Draymond has anger management issues, or so-and-so is bipolar, or you know, so-and-so is this or that. We don't know these people. Like, you can look at Draymond Green's action on the floor, and I just was watching ESPN, and he's had 37 technical fouls since 2015 in the playoffs, which is almost triple the person who's number two on the list.
Plays a lot of playoff games, though.
So if you want to talk about what issue he has a technical foul and flagrant foul issue. That you can see as a basketball fan, as a basketball aficionado, whatever you want to see. You can watch the game and look at Draymond Green and say, yeah, he has a hard time avoiding getting technical fouls. It doesn't mean that he's got anger issues. And what he did to Jordan Poole, I was one of the most adamant about criticizing it and criticizing the team for not punishing him and all the rest of it. So does that mean that he had one moment where he lost his cool with a teammate, so now he's got anger management issues? I hesitate to put these labels on people that none of us really know.
I think that's incredibly fair. Golden State Valkyries inaugural season is here. You do not want to miss the first ever WNBA season in the Bay Area, and the first ever WNBA game that counts here in the Bay Area is next Friday night. Tiffany Hayes, Kate Martin, Kayla Thornton, get to know these names and follow their game and the Valkyries all summer long at Chase Center. Tickets available at valkyries.com. And as mentioned, we've got two chances for you to win your way into that game on May 16th, a week from tonight, with us today. Make sure you're listening in the 4 o'clock hour, the 5 o'clock hour, for your chance to win. And that's coming like a freight train because it's 3:50 right now.
It's so great. Yeah. Just 20 seconds on the Valkyries, because Steiny and Goo earlier, Guru tried to like, catch Steiny because Steiny was doing the thing. And Guru's like, name one Valkyrie. And Steiny had the copy that you have. So Steiny reads off three names.
Kayla Thornton.
Totally. And so Guru's like, yeah, all right. You do like the Valkyries. And I'm in my car thinking, the dude's got the copy cheating. In front of him.
Tiffany Hayes. Yeah.
I just thought it was Kate name, Martin.
Name one Valkyrie not on it just, the copy.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, I would struggle with
it
that.
It just was one of those moments.
I'll tell you this, though. I'm going to know. I will
Dude,
know.
We'll all know.
I don't know yet, but I'm going to know.
Yep.
I can't wait to go check this out. My daughter can't wait to go check this out. My sons want to go check this out. My daughter really, really wants to check this out. But my sons want to go. I want to go. I can't wait to see this. Did they have... Check this.
Dude,
hold on.
Yes.
Did they have 17,000 people show up for a game that doesn't count last week?
Yes, Mark.
Is that accurate?
Yes. Yes, 17,000 for a preseason game.
Yo.
My daughter also can't wait to go. And I was telling her about the opener against the Sparks. I don't yike the Sparks. Good girl, honey.
You know what's even crazier?
What's that?
That game was going on at the same time as Warriors-T-Wolves game.
Right, yes. Right.
And they still had 17,000.
17,000 basketball fans were like, I don't need to watch game one of the Warriors.
Whatever, there'll be six more of these.
Go to the Valkyrie game that doesn't count. That's crazy.
Yep.
That's very cool. That's very cool. All right, back to the phones. Sure, the Warriors lost last night, and maybe it was set up to be a loss. Maybe you didn't think without the way Steve Kerr played this one was intense enough for it. To me, I get the vibe. Like you'd love, it's a playoff game. You want to go all out for all of them. But at the same time, do I understand that the Warriors are unfortunately in reboot mode? They're not going to have Steph Curry pretty much almost for sure until at least game six, maybe not in this series at all. You have to find new rotations. You have to find players that look right against this specific matchup. And so that's what he took a lot of the game to do. And I don't really get the one thing, you don't have to like that. I don't care if you don't like that, that's fine. But those of you who are like, should have been ready for this, you could have been, I don't know how. I don't understand how you were supposed to give other guys more minutes in the Rocket series, you would have lost. I don't understand how you're supposed to achieve this in practice. Rudy Gobert doesn't come to the Warriors practices. Plus, as you pointed out, they barely practice right now with the schedule they're running. So I don't understand the concept that the Warriors should have just been like, okay, let's immediately go to that plan B that we've been working on for the last 6 months. Ready, break. Like, I just don't think that exists.
No, it doesn't exist. And like you always say, you just don't know when you play somebody if they're going to play well or not. So you go with Quentin Post in the starting lineup and he plays 3 minutes and he's a minus 13 and you're down 13-0 and you call timeout and you say, all right, Quentin, it might not be your night tonight. No fault of your own necessarily. Might've been his fault, but you're going to go ahead and pull the plug and try something else. So for me, Game two was always going to be about that. It was kind of like sophomore year in biology lab where you do a little bit of the blue fluid and you put some of the red in and you know you get the Petri dish and you get the beaker and all the rest of it. You're just trying to test it out. You don't know what's going to work or not work, but you're up one game to none. You had that luxury.
Yep, you sure did. You don't anymore.
No.
But yeah, tomorrow night is a complete, you will. I can promise you that. You're going to see a very different approach tomorrow night. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be different. It'll be different. I think it'll be shorter rotations. It'll be more targeted, more strategic. We'll see. We'll see who kind of, you know, survived last night's reality show to make it to the next round. 888-957-9570. How about Jim and Martinez? Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Guys, you're killing it. Dibs, long time no talk. I got a couple things to say, just a few. None of them are long, but you guys keep coming up with more stuff, like the Joe Namath interview, the impersonation sensation, Dibs. Awesome. Not so much on the next one. Anyway.
Yeah, one for two is good in baseball.
So I've been a Warriors fan. It's funny hearing these people call in and talking about Kerr when he just had Kuminga killing it in the season, then Kuminga went down for 2 months.
He came back for like a game or two, and then he went down again. And the Warriors have been in the playoffs for like 2 months now, at least. Every game was like a must-win game. There was no developing. And get this, everybody. Please step back a little and realize what we have here. We had Clay. We have Steph Curry. We have Draymond Green. Draymond Green, if he was 6'10", he would probably be the best defensive player of all time outside of Bill Russell. And you look, would Phil Jackson have been getting all this crap if Michael Jordan was out? And they'd be saying, why didn't you develop blah, blah, blah? And you know what Steve Kerr could have done? He could have gone out on the court and started shooting the ball in the game last night, because that's the only thing that would have helped. I don't know what's going on with Moses Moody. I love the kid. He did great during the regular season. Houston seemed to get in his head, and he can't. He just, I mean, he's not just missing. He's like missing the backboard.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's amazing. And Draymond Green, real quick, the idea that we got this guy, I used to watch a lot more college ball, and the idea we got him, and everybody, this guy's like 6'5", maybe 6'6". And he is dominant on defense. He is like having Joe Montana back there directing your offense, but he's on defense. And we are – this is tough. Jimmy Butler, I think, is definitely not 100%. Obviously, Steph's out. But now, all of a sudden, Kerr, who has brought us 6 championship series and 4 rings, which is 3 more than the last 50 stinking years, and everybody's going to come in and go, oh, Steve Kerr, he's horrible because Jonathan Kuminga didn't play last night. My goodness, guys. Get a clue, please.
Jim, thanks. Appreciate it.
Love that guy.
That was a pretty strong call.
Very good.
You know what I was thinking about as he's talking about this? How many times through the years, whether it was a Warrior fan or like a national analyst, would say, oh, the Warriors on some of their playoff runs, they've sure had a lot of lucky breaks. Because why? Oh, Kawhi got hurt. Kyrie got hurt. We can go through all of this. Remember when they played Denver and like all they had was Jokic?
Yep.
They didn't have any of their other good players. There was no Porter. There was no Murray. Those guys all got hurt. So what do we do with those teams when they lose their best players? We automatically go, oh, well, yeah, they're not really a viable team anymore. Yet somehow, because we root for this jersey, we're going to pop out the other side of this and demand that the Warriors are still awesome sauce, even though Steph Curry, who's better than all of those players I just mentioned, is now not available. Like, there does need, I'm not telling you the Warriors are dust, but I think you're crazy if you don't adjust your expectation and prediction of this series. I think you're crazy if you think the Warriors are just going to not miss a beat. That's nuts.
Of course they'll miss a beat.
They'll miss a bunch of beats.
Well, hopefully not a bunch of beats. Hopefully they miss a beat or they miss a couple of beats. And I think about 2016 when Steph stepped on Patrick Beverley's foot and he missed a game. And then Houston comes out and they win game 3. And Steph fights to get back and he doesn't play in game 4, but the Warriors won. Then he comes back in game 5. And then he slips on Lake Montejunas and he's out for the almost the entirety of the next series as well. And then when he eventually did come back, he had a grade 2 MCL sprain, and they would go on to lose to Cleveland in the NBA Finals, and Steph was never quite 100% right. And that was a team with Iguodala and, you know, Livingston and, of course, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. So it was probably a more deep team, although those guys were all in their 20s. We didn't yet quite fully know. Yep. We knew that Iguodala was already established and great, but we didn't know that the other guys were going to go on to be as good as they were. But you were able to survive Steph missing a couple of games and then a bunch more games. But what it took was strength in numbers, that kind of a vibe. And, you know, Livingston stepped up and Mo Buckets had a huge game and Iguodala was terrific. And, you know, Klay Thompson had a game where he went out and carried the load. So not that this team has that same ability, but you're going to need that same level of a step-up performance from a bunch of different guys here.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.